Welcome to Primo Medico Expert Physicians Talk, health explained in an understandable way. In this podcast channel, we talk about selected medical topics in collaboration with leading medical specialists. The following content comes directly from the respective specialist and is presented by a digitally recorded voice, expertly scrutinized, clearly explained. Primo Medico, health to listen to. Today we are talking about a very important topic, lung cancer prevention and modern therapy procedures. Our guest is Professor Dr. Med-Peter Kleiner, Chief Physician of Thoracic Surgery at the Sana Klinikum Offenbach. He is considered a distinguished expert in minimally invasive lung surgery and complex thoracic surgical procedures. It's great to have you with us today, Professor Kleiner.
Hello, and from my side as well, I'm truly delighted that we have the opportunity to discuss this very important and highly topical subject here today.
Professor Kleiner, what is approximately the number of people suffering from lung cancer in Germany?
Yes, there are figures available from the Federal Statistical Office for 2024, which clearly indicate that in the past year, 58,000 individuals were newly diagnosed with lung cancer. This means, quite simply, that this represents a very significant number of people here in Germany. If we break down these numbers further, there are about 24,500 women and 33,500 men. This means more men than women get this type of cancer. However, the number of women is steadily increasing, while the number of men is experiencing a slight decrease. Overall, lung cancer is the second most prevalent type of cancer in Germany, following female breast cancer.
Could you briefly explain what exactly causes this lung cancer rate?
Well, traditionally, it was always commonly said that lung cancer is a self-inflicted form of cancer due to smoking. Today, however, we are much more nuanced and differentiated in our understanding. There are genetic factors, specific mutations within our human genome, which can also be significantly responsible for the development of lung cancer. And not least because of this, we have observed a significant development leading to a convergence in the traditional gender roles regarding disease prevalence. Women are now suffering from the condition more frequently, and men less so, primarily because women exhibit these specific genetic alterations at a higher rate compared to men. Well, we approach this subject with a great deal of nuance today, but smoking undoubtedly continues to play a significant and important role in the development and the onset of lung cancer. And the most effective means of preventing this disease in yourself is to maintain a lifestyle of non-smoking.
What role do environmental influences play anymore?
Right, so it's important. Particulate matter is certainly a very important topic. Asbestos is still an issue, even though it hasn't been used in Germany for 30 years. But the latency period between asbestos exposure and cancer is up to 40 years. And clearly, more people get lung cancer in cities than in the countryside.
A malignant tumor associated with lung cancer typically does not cause any pain in the early stages. How can patients, both male and female, recognize or determine for themselves if there is potentially something wrong or amiss?
Yes, unfortunately, 90% of all lung cancer diagnoses, when they are in the early stages where a curative treatment is still possible, are completely asymptomatic. And this naturally leads us to our topic for today. We really need to focus on prevention before any symptoms even show up. And the typical symptoms, when we're talking about lung cancer, are often, of course, a persistent cough. But this is a symptom that many, many people experience, even those who do not have lung cancer at all. If the sputum you cough up is bloody, that is certainly something that requires immediate and thorough diagnostic investigation. But unfortunately, most lung cancers only cause symptoms when metastases have already developed.
Why does lung cancer continue to represent such a significant medical challenge, both in terms of early detection and its effective treatment?
Yes, in early detection, due to the complete absence of symptoms, and in its treatment, because lung cancer is a very aggressive tumor that, if left untreated, can lead to death within just a few months. And that is what makes it so difficult. However, we have made very significant progress in the treatment of lung cancer. Not only surgically, but also through pharmacological treatment, meaning that we are now achieving a significantly greater number of successes, even in advanced tumor stages. But nevertheless, it remains an aggressive cancer.
And And for which patient groups do you recommend a regular preventive health checkup? Or should everyone simply be aware and have their lungs thoroughly examined?
No, there are clear criteria that have now been established by the Joint Federal Committee, which is a body comprising health insurance providers, medical experts, and politicians, who have precisely defined which patients should undergo preventive health screenings. This is firmly rooted in extensive empirical studies conducted not only in the USA, but also across Europe. And the patients who have been smoking for a considerable period of time benefit. What does that mean? This should be done from the age of 50. For younger patients, this is currently not recommended. And if you've smoked a pack of cigarettes for more than 20 years, this means someone who smokes only half a pack needs twice the time, 40 years, to reach that. A person who smokes two packs daily needs only 10 years to reach this. So, we are talking about chronic smokers. And if you eventually stop smoking, which we observe in many, many patients, an elevated risk still persists for 15 years. So, if you are 50 years or older and have smoked a pack a day for more than 20 years, you should go for lung cancer screening, even if you have no symptoms.
And what is the diagnostic procedure at your hospital for a suspected case of lung cancer?
So, first of all, when we discuss the topic of screening, there are very clear guidelines, because unfortunately, in a regular X-ray image, and this is quite different from breast cancer where we use mammography, we often cannot identify lung cancer. That is precisely why a computed tomography scan is absolutely necessary. This is now possible with radiation exposure that's roughly equivalent to a single X-ray image. We're referring to what's known as low-dose CT, where only a minimal amount of X-rays are utilized. No contrast medium needs to be administered, and this allows us to detect whether tissue changes have formed in the lungs. We call these round lesions because they initially appear quite round, and then these CT scans are evaluated by a specialist X-ray doctor, a radiologist. Should there be any suspicious findings, these must be verified at a specialized lung cancer center, such as the one we operate here in Offenbach. Then, a decision is made. Is a simple follow-up sufficient, or do we need to immediately initiate further diagnostic procedures, meaning obtaining a tissue sample? The sample can be acquired through a minimally invasive procedure, or sometimes via a bronchoscopy, which is essentially a lung scope. So you can already hear that several specialized disciplines are necessary: the thoracic surgeon, then the pulmonologist who performs these bronchoscopies, and the radiologist. These three must work together very closely so that the entire process leads to high quality results. One more thing I forgot to mention, which is also established. Nowadays, all CT scans for lung cancer screening are evaluated by artificial intelligence. It checks the entire lung tissue for round lesions and sometimes detects even the smallest ones, which we can barely see with the human eye. This is a fundamental requirement for lung cancer screening.
Since when have you had this method of artificial intelligence?
This has developed over the course of the last 2 years, making it something that is very current and relevant. However, it is now being offered by manufacturers for nearly all CT examinations and has become an established standard practice today, and not solely in the context of lung cancer.
Let's address the topic of what happens if there is an actual diagnosis of lung cancer. Which surgical therapy methods do you then employ?
Yes, we've now taken a significant step forward. We actually detected lung cancer as part of our routine preventive examination. The treatment plan will therefore once again be coordinated by several specialized medical disciplines. The pulmonologist, the oncologist, that is, the cancer specialist, the thoracic surgeon, and the radiation therapist all sit together at a table. They are joined by other specialized disciplines, for example, pathology, which has taken and thoroughly examined the tissue sample. With everyone present, the team then determines and provides the most appropriate treatment plan. Surgical procedures are primarily utilized, especially during the very early stages. That's why I'm sitting here as a thoracic surgeon involved in lung cancer screening, because through this process, we genuinely hope to identify patients in much earlier stages. Then the cancer itself is removed, and if present, any metastases in the lymph nodes are typically operated on as well. The smaller the tumor is, the less invasive the surgical procedure will be.
Could you perhaps tell us a little more about your methods once again? I'm specifically referring to the minimally invasive procedures. You have a very particular technique that you consistently apply. Yes, perhaps you could elaborate on that for us once more.
That's right. So, open surgical procedures for early tumor stages are now a thing of the past. Previously, we didn't fully possess the necessary technology for minimally invasive surgery. Nowadays, however, we operate in these early stages using what is known as the VATS technique. That means video-assisted thoracic surgery. And through keyhole incisions, a camera is introduced into the chest cavity. Today, it can provide us with images using 3D technology, or at least HD technology. And with this, we can see better than with open surgery, exactly where the cancer has grown, how the blood vessels run, and so on. For patients, this offers the advantage of less pain, quicker recovery, and faster discharge from the hospital. And when we talk about cancer treatment, hospital stays are always something we want to avoid nowadays. A special procedure that we also offer here in Offenbach is robotic surgery. Even more gentle surgical interventions are possible. It would probably go into too much detail to describe each one of them right now, but whenever possible, we utilize the robot because it causes even less pain and, thanks to the improved camera technology, provides images that we would never have even dreamed of before.
This is quite a significant difference compared to the conventional methods you've used.
Yes, so in that area as well, to ensure we can clearly recognize all the individual details, all of us here use magnifying loops, which already enlarge everything by 2 to 3 times its original size. And yet, the human eye simply cannot deliver or capture these truly excellent images that we now have available to us for all our minimally invasive surgical procedures.
Well, then there are, of course, these complex operations, such as sleeve resections or combined interventions on the chest wall or diaphragm. Could you perhaps elaborate a little more on those?
Right. We're now at the complete other end of the spectrum, specifically advanced lung cancer cases, where the tumor has already grown beyond its original point of origin. These operations are typically performed as open surgeries, though nowadays with incisions that are not as extensive as they once were. Here, we've also developed our own specialized techniques to ensure the procedure is as gentle as possible for the patients. Sleeve resection means a tumor, for example, originated in the upper lung lobe and has progressively grown until it reached the main bronchus. And then, the goal is not to remove the entire lung, but instead, one still only removes the upper lobe and then reattaches the other lung sections back on top. This particular approach requires a highly experienced thoracic surgeon, but it provides the patient with the distinct advantage that the cancerous growth is removed just as radically, while a significant portion of the healthy lung tissue is preserved.
And what exactly are the potential risks associated with all these methods?
So, naturally the risk increases with the complexity of the procedure, but generally, lung operations today are very safe procedures with a mortality rate in Germany of under 2%. That means over 98% survive this operation. Our patients naturally feel a great deal of apprehension when they are about to undergo such a surgical procedure. The chest cavity is opened and the lung is operated on. But generally, it's quite well tolerated. The risks that still exist are primarily found in the patient's comorbidities and the impairment of their lung function. When we consider that most of our patients have actually smoked, then the rest of their lungs are simply not fully healthy anymore, and patients are therefore more susceptible to developing pneumonia after surgery. And then it may be necessary to administer antibiotics for a longer period of time, or perhaps intensive physical therapy. Then the hospital stay is significantly extended. But today, with these modern, minimally invasive operations, you can generally be discharged and go home after only 4 days.
And what exactly does the aftercare involve? Or to put it another way, what are patients required to do after they have undergone an operation or a treatment?
Yes, so after the operation, we will discuss the findings again with our partners, specifically the pulmonologists and the radiation therapists. everything I've already described to you. And then a decision will be made as to whether further treatment is still necessary. Today, that doesn't necessarily mean chemotherapy anymore. In lung cancer, immunotherapy is now considered appropriate for almost all patients, and what's more, it is significantly gentler and better tolerated than traditional chemotherapy. And for those specific genetic alterations, which I initially described to you as a risk factor, we now have very specialized medications available. Patients can take one tablet a day, and that's even more effective than anything else. But unfortunately, only about 20 to 25% of our patients have such a gene mutation. However, as new medications are constantly coming onto the market, this will certainly become more common in the future. In any event, even if the patient does not require any specific post-treatment care, the patient must still regularly undergo CT examinations and attend follow-up appointments so that we can detect any potential recurrence at an early stage. Hopefully, at some point in the future, it will no longer be necessary to conduct a full CT examination, but rather just a simple blood test. Here in Offenbach, we are scientifically working on this. Unfortunately, at this moment, we haven't quite reached that point. So, for the time being, patients still regularly need their CT scans.
So, with a blood test, you could check, okay, there might be something genetic or something like that?
We are looking specifically for the presence of tumor DNA. Now, DNA is, of course, our fundamental hereditary material, and the tumor cells are fundamentally different from our normal, healthy human cells. And what we do then is we carefully monitor the situation, because if tumor DNA is once again detectable within the patient's bloodstream, then that indicates that the tumor must be actively growing somewhere in the body. Unfortunately, this is not reliable enough at the moment. For many patients, we are unable to find it in their blood, even though the tumor is already growing back or metastases have formed somewhere else. We are currently working on analyzing the genome of each individual patient in a way that allows us to specifically search for those tumor genes that are distinct from the normal ones. This is still somewhat of a future vision, but we have recently initiated a study and are very hopeful that we will be able to make significant progress in this area. We need to get to the stage where we can perhaps eventually dispense with the entire CTS system. Regrettably, at this point in time, that is still not yet feasible.
Professor Kleiner, if you could offer one crucial piece of counsel to our listeners, what would that be, specifically regarding the topics of disease prevention, proactive health screening, or general risk awareness? What are the most important aspects they should be mindful of?
It's absolutely essential that preventive care for lung cancer is at least as important as it is for breast cancer conditions. We know from the results of the large-scale clinical trials that preventative screening significantly reduces the risk of mortality associated with lung cancer. And this means that every single patient who decides to undergo this specific preventative measure will subsequently have a much higher probability, a greater chance, of simply living a longer and healthier life. So, who exactly are the people I recommend this screening procedure to? Once again, female smokers, and specifically those who are past a certain age, namely 50 years old. If, for example, in your professional life, you frequently deal with fine particulate matter, in earlier times, this was primarily in mining, but even today, we still encounter fine dust pollution, toxic fumes for painters, and similar situations, then you should have your body checked very thoroughly, and in case of any doubt, it's always better to have to go once again for such a preventive medical examination.
Professor Kleiner, who is it that is allowed to come and consult with you?
So, the patient and the process of enrolling them into this specific lung cancer screening program will most likely be managed predominantly by specialized pulmonologists, but every general practitioner is able to refer the patients. To send them for lung cancer screening examinations, if they fulfill all the required inclusion criteria, which means they must be older than 50 years and have smoked for more than 20 pack years. Should any abnormalities be detected there, the findings are then sent to a specialized lung cancer center, and at that point, the time has come for us to actively approach and engage with the patients. Conversely, patients who may have received a CT scan for other reasons, where a pulmonary nodule is observed, are all very welcome here for further diagnostic assessment and evaluation. Is it something that just needs to be monitored, or is more intervention required?
Professor Kleiner, I sincerely thank you for these truly fascinating insights into modern lung cancer prevention and into the various available therapeutic possibilities.
You are very welcome, and I thank you too.
This has been the Specialist Physician Talk, brought to you by Primo Medico, which is the premier choice for medical specialists and expert physicians. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to listen to our program. For more comprehensive and detailed information concerning the topic of medical specialists, please visit us online at primomedico.com. Join us again next time when we return with our popular segment, which is called Medicine for Your Ears.